Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habegger with us.
Good morning.
It is going to be a good show, everybody. We've got some great stuff lined up for you. In this hour alone, we're going to get into our National Day of calendar. Got some other fun stuff to get into. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to that. We will also kick off the hour being joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Get a live update on Mother Nature. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick things off with the Kitchens Open, the show inside the show. Beth and Melissa's cooking show. We're looking forward to getting into that in a little bit. And I actually got a question for that show.
All right.
We'll get into that 9 o'clock hour. Also, good stories of the day. We possibly have a That Ain't Right story. We'll see. I can't. I saw it this morning, and I had one in mind for our That Ain't Right story. And I'm like, nope, that's going to decide because this has to take precedent.
Okay,
I'm a little surprised we're not starting the show with it. To be honest with you.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. We're looking forward to that. All those things coming up for you. I want to talk about our schedule this week. So we got some great guests coming by. I want to talk about. But before we get to all of those things, Melissa, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
Oh, pretty good. It was a quieter weekend. I'm going to ask Beth this question because, James, we know your sleep schedule is very well documented and irregular, but Beth, have you ever had one of those nights where you just couldn't sleep?
Yes. It's called insomnia. It's not fun.
Yeah. Well, that happened to me this weekend.
Oh, no.
So I was up pretty much, you know, a good chunk of the night on Saturday, but it did give me the opportunity to connect with my youngest brother. We played games online together and chatted, so that was good. It was nice to reconnect with him, and I made sourdough bread this weekend, and one of the because my recipe always makes two loaves. Well, two loaves of sourdough bread is just, you know, too much for two people in 5 days. So the second loaf I turned into sourdough pizza crusts that I like par cooked and then froze. So really happy about that.
Yeah,
I like that idea. How did that turn out with the pizza?
Oh, they're good.
Yeah,
I've made them before. Like I made a loaf into that before and then froze them, and they come out of the freezer perfect. It's like making a frozen pizza with fresh toppings. You know, just having a frozen crust, and then you put your sauce and your toppings on top and throw them in the oven like you would a, you know, 12 to 15 minutes. It's great because then we can have pizza at home, but individualize them so I can have no cheese and he can have as much cheese and sausage as he wants.
Very nice.
I also taught Aaron how to make soup this weekend because he said he doesn't know how to make soup. So we made a chicken dumpling soup together.
Yum.
Yeah.
So I love how it just always seems like every Monday, Melissa, you get the most out of your weekend. You do. You really do. I got to start taking notes. Nicely done. That's great to hear. And accomplishment anytime you can get somebody to learn something new. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. It feels so good, and it's so great to see them enjoying it.
Yeah.
That's a cool process. That's something fun to experience.
Right on. It was fun.
Beth, how was your weekend?
It was a work weekend. It was very busy. We had our first hosting of the Wonders Farmers Market at the Moravian Church. So from 9 to 1, we had a steady stream of people coming in to check out our vendors. This week, because word is just starting to get out, we only had 7, but there was a lot of energy and excitement. So we're hoping in the future to get more vendors to come. And, you know, if you're interested, there is more information on our website. If you go to our website, up at the top right, there is a drop down that says more. And then Winter's Farmers Market, there's a area for customers and an area for vendors. So you just go to wrmoravian.org and click that more button and you'll be able to find it. And we are excited to be able to offer this and glad to have people come in and out of the church. And you know, so yesterday we had worship and been doing a lot of visiting. I've got a couple of members in the hospital, so I've been doing that, and had a death in the congregation. So it's been a lot of more of the caring for that, and that's really what has led me into ministry, is to be with people and to walk with them. So it was enriching even as it was busy.
I always appreciate that you share so much, Beth, because I think you could give us a very generic answer and none of us would push back on it. So I appreciate that from you. So I mean no pressing on this, but how do you handle that? when you especially you're coming right in the first week of the year, mm-hmm. you're coming right back into things, and these are the things that are you're greeted with to begin the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand, you know, you and I know each other pretty well.
Right.
You have a great spirit. You have a very positive attitude to yourself. How do you balance that going into the job?
Well, I do take my moments for myself, usually when I'm at home. And I have a wonderful husband who is very supportive and am able to process and talk things through with him. And I have clergy colleagues that also go through all of this. So to be able to bounce things off of them and process with them has helped a lot.
I want to meet this husband.
He's a pretty good guy. Yeah, I think you might actually get along.
You sure?
Well, yeah.
Maybe. Thank you for sharing that.
I know. He thinks pretty highly of his right hand.
I keep wanting to know, okay, if you're the left hand and he's the right hand, what does that make me?
The conscience.
The butt of the jokes?
No, the conscience. My conscience around here, easily. You're not even here sometimes and I think of things that are like, ooh, nope, I'm going to move on. Not even going to say it.
The voice in his head.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. I'm the one that drives him crazy. All right. Yay.
And for what
somebody has to do it. Yeah,
for what it is worth, I am a left-handed originally. Well, so I mean,
there you go. So you actually have the better spot, Melissa.
I've said this all along. There I don't know why people think so highly of the right hand, but
I wanted to. I know that there are other people out there struggling. There mm-hmm. are people that have a tough time balancing all these mm-hmm. things, especially when you. It is nowhere near the same thing. But mm-hmm. today I'm doing just fine. But I've had plenty of days I come in here and the last thing I feel like doing is talking to anybody.
Right.
I don't feel like doing that. I don't feel like, let alone trying to make people laugh or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I also find that when I do those things, when I push through it, put my game face on and let's just do this, that it organically kind of makes me already in a better mood,
mm-hmm.
A little more positive, feel a little better, even if I don't necessarily feel it in the get-go, in the
right.
first steps. By that fifth, sixth step, I'm feeling it a little bit better.
Well, and there's some truth to that, fake it till you make it. If
yeah.
you choose to
yeah.
be positive, that can help, but don't feel guilty if you can't. And if you can't push through, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
As difficult as that is, it's better to just verbalize it than to internalize it. Because it can have health consequences if you do that.
Yeah.
So just reach out, you know, find a friend, call a religious leader if you are a part of a religious community. There are crisis hotlines that you can call, so just reach out. So James, how was your weekend?
All right, it was busy. I came up with a couple of good couple things for the show here that I'm really excited about. Was working on a new River Kings promotion throughout the weekend and had classes. Had a couple days off from filming, and that was nice. I also didn't realize how badly I missed it. I knew that I missed acting. I understood that, and I've been honest with the audience. I had this fear that what if I can't do it again?
Right.
You know, if I can't memorize lines, what good am I? And that I needed something. There's only one way to figure this out. You got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I could take a role in a play here, or I could do this little thing or whatever and stuff. And none of that would have equaled an actual professional job. There's a difference between doing this when you have that responsibility on you. When
right.
you have that, it isn't just the paycheck or your castmates or anything else that you have just on your shoulders. It's your career.
Mm-hmm.
You have one or two bad gigs at my level, you're not going to be ever seen, let alone, you know, that you're barely seen as it is.
Right.
So just to get out there, get the ball rolling, to get my resume working again, because there's a billion actors behind me that want my, you know, working on their resumes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get in and I'm doing the project, and I forgot what it's like to just have one job.
Yeah.
I don't know the last time I've worked a job where it was just the one thing. Like, all that they're asking of me is acting. The director and her assistant director were talking about a scene, and I chimed in and immediately caught myself. It's like, oh, they didn't ask my opinion. I'm not in charge here. I'm just talent. I just point me where to go, and then I go, and then I say my line. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to be able to do that. It was also really a fun weekend for my dad and my mom. They have been struggling with some hip pain. And I think this weekend they were able to accomplish a couple of things that I don't think they thought they could. But I don't want to sound like I don't, obviously, if you hear me for 5 seconds, you know how I feel about my mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty evident. both of them are using these canes, and they're really cool canes. Mm-hmm. They got those prongs on the bottom, yep. like the four things, and mm-hmm. they each have a little light, like flashlight on them even.
Oh, wow.
I've never seen these kind of canes before. They're great. They're two different colored. My dad is a bluish one. My mom is a pinkish one. They're great, but they're walking around with them, and they both have the same bad hip. And being me, I can't help but wonder, and I don't know. I'm going to ask you guys this. If you think this is kosher for me to ask them this, I'm curious, when I'm not around, when nobody's in the house or anything like that, do they play lightsabers with those canes? I'm dying to know. I got to know, because I know they got like a little bit of a kid in them. They both right. do. They both, my mom doesn't let it show very much, but she does. I am almost positive that they do this. I just want to know why. And I'm waiting to look on the canes to see like some scuff marks on the canes for when they clash and everything. Then I think that'll be my tell, but I'm there not sure. Go. I'll let you guys know when I ask. We'll take a break. We'll take a break in a moment. First, I wanted to get to our guests here at the station. We have a fun week lined up of guests. It's going to be jam packed. Tomorrow, Melissa and I will be joined by Patrick from High Gear Promotions.
Ooh.
They are a concert and event promotion company specializing in booking and promoting high quality music and comedy shows.
Awesome.
And I'm looking forward to meeting Patrick and having him on the air join us and everything. I imagine he'll join us more as we go forward. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then Thursday is an insane day. It's busy, busy, busy. We, of course, have all of our regular fun stuff, or your usual unusual suspects throughout the show. And we will be joined in the 9 o'clock hour, first time in a long time, and first time of many, our Pet of the Week from the Southwood County Humane Society.
Oh, yay!
Good.
This was a long time segment on these airwaves for forever, really. Mm-hmm. We're so happy to have our friends back from the Humane Society. Really appreciate the time that they take to come in here and everything, especially in the winter, and bringing these furry friends in. It's the only reason I'm still doing this job. I was actually going to retire this weekend, and then I remembered, oh yeah, we have the Pet of the Week coming back. I'm not going anywhere. I want to be a part of that. That's going to be so much fun. That is how we will kick off the 9 o'clock hour on Thursday, and really Thursdays going forward for a while here. Mm-hmm. Really excited about that. After that, around 9:30-ish, maybe after Melissa's news, we will get to Taylor, Allison Dairyland's own. Taylor's going to join us.
Wonderful. Great.
Really been enjoying her joining us on these airwaves. We've been having a lot of fun doing that. Taylor's got some great stuff coming up. I believe we're going to talk a little ginseng and some other great things. Of course, anything made here in Wisconsin, Taylor and I will highlight it and bring it to the fold. Looking forward to that. It's going to be fun. Did I mention Pet of the Week is back? Did I mention that? Did I? We'll take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun. It's the morning show on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Snuggle up to a new friend.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the updates. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR. Melissa, Beth, and James with you. Time to dive into our national day of calendar for this January 9th, 2023. This time, Beth, you have to tell me in the studio if I'm on the right day.
You are on the right day, James.
Yes, yes. See what I mean? My conscience. My
there
God.
You go.
National Static Electricity Day.
Ooh.
Every little kid's favorite science experiment.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And I love this balloon stick to the ceiling.
Yes, yes.
And the picture they have is one of those plasma balls. And one of my boys actually got one for Christmas this year.
Oh, cool.
Really?
Yeah. It's very cool.
Was it in the Dells? Tommy Bartlett? What was it?
No, it was the robot exploration.
Yeah, it was the robot exploration. Thank you, Melissa. Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Man, I will always remember that sixth grade field trip going there, and the first time I was ever around one of those, and I saw one kid do it. And his hair went all out and everything. And I'm like, ooh, I want to do this. My hair was so thick. It's so heavy.
See,
like barely showed up and everything. But it still worked. It still was, able to.
For me, it was at a place called COSI, which is a Columbus Science Institute. Mm. And it was a field trip. And my hair is very thin. So it went all over the place. But it was
fun. James, you're right. It is the Tommy Bartlett exploration, but it's was called Robot World way back when. But it's part of that complex. Well, yeah.
That's not around anymore, is it?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The Ski Sky and Stage Show, I think, shut down recently.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm almost positive it did. That's a shame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but with this day, how many of us haven't rubbed our feet against the floor and then gone up and touched somebody? That is the thing to do when you're a kid.
Isn't it, you know, pretty much our first science experiment?
Yeah.
You know, we have a balloon. We you know, rub it. And we can put
it on
some,
our head.
Yes, yes.
Or at night when you're under your covers and all of a sudden there's static, you see all those little sparks going off. Mm-hmm. So you see the lights.
Science is so much fun.
It's fun.
It's just fun. National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day.
We appreciate you, law enforcers. Mm-hmm.
Deeply.
Very much so.
I mentioned this before. I'm a huge, huge sucker for Westerns. I love Westerns. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in living in one.
It's true.
Need our law enforcement.
Yes, absolutely.
The amount of things that are put on them that have nothing to do with their job, mm-hmm. The amount of pay that they get, the amount of support that they get from communities, these things, all these things matter. They're topics that should be talked about and thought about. Their right. safety should be talked about. It is not at all to turn a blind eye to accountability. Mm-hmm. You've heard Sheriff Becker and I talk about this. If I got a sheriff in the studio and I'm talking with him about police brutality and everything, I think it's understood that I believe this is something that needs to be
right.
brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot, you can't judge anything by one bad action or by the bad actions of some.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's this, and honestly, every good police officer I've met, every good, you know, anybody in that field,
mm-hmm.
Nobody dislikes bad cops more than them.
Exactly.
Right? Oh, yeah. It makes their job.
It gives them a bad name. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I want to give a shout out to my brother-in-law, David, who is works third shift for a police department down in Lake Mills.
Ooh. Right on. Yeah. Big shout out
good.
To him.
Mm-hmm. Good on him.
Stay safe out there, everybody.
Yeah.
Stay safe mm-hmm. out there, and we appreciate you.
I want to celebrate this one. Where
yes.
can we do this?
Yes.
Where?
National Balloon Ascension Day.
Yes. Go up in a hot air balloon. I've always wanted to do that.
Me too. Same here.
Okay.
Just to experience it.
Did we just come up with another work bonding
thing?
I think so.
Yes. Team building.
Team building.
There we go.
I actually did get to go up in a balloon in Colorado.
Ooh.
Wow.
Back in, 2000. So it's been a hot minute.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But it was a cool experience. You have no sensation of moving when you're in a balloon because you're moving with the wind. The only thing that makes you notice that you're moving is like the ground passing by underneath
mm-hmm.
you.
Hmm.
So it's a weird sensation.
How cold was it? Because the higher you get up, the colder it gets, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. we were up pretty high, but we dressed really warm and it was early morning, but in the middle of summer.
Okay.
So... they have you dress appropriately, and you're part of the crew that helps get the balloon and laid out and inflated.
Oh, that's cool!
Awesome!
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's mm-hmm. cool.
So
they don't show you that in the movies.
No, they don't. So it really can be a team building experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then when you're all done, you get a mimosa. So
Ooh.
It's a lot of fun.
I definitely need to sign up for that.
Yeah, I got to try that. I also love the idea of like a couple months from now, like Sage, our owner here at Civic Media, like calling me, hey, James, what's with all these like expenses? See that you guys had a balloon ride.
Axe throwing.
All these, what is going on over
Road
there?
Road trip.
And why aren't you inviting me? Why aren't you inviting me? National Clean Your Desk Day. I don't want to.
No,
forget it. No, we're moving on.
I really should, though.
That's something about our desk that just gets,
it's
cluttered.
It's so easy to pile stuff.
It is. It's a desk.
I'll get to this later.
Yep.
This pile of papers I've been avoiding since I put it there.
Well, and for people with ADHD brains, we need the site reminder. So that's one of the reasons why I leave things out mm-hmm. on my desk so that I don't forget to get back to it.
Yep.
So, mm-hmm. but I have to admit, it got overwhelming last week, and I actually did that last week, so I was just ahead of the curve.
I don't want to do this next one. I feel very guilty. I feel very weird about doing it. I'm just kidding. It is Play God Day.
That one.
I'm trying to think of what this is. Play God Day seeks to get past self-centered tendencies and calls us to extend out beyond the confines of our own desires and encourage or touch another person's day.
Okay, now I'm on board with it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be get yourself an ant, ant farm.
Oh, that's great. I don't know why that got me. That's good. Any chance to be able to, I feel like they worded this one purposefully that way to be mm-hmm. like almost controversial, which mm-hmm. seems kind of silly because yeah. what they're their intention is very strong and yeah. really a paying it forward kind of thing or doing right by somebody. I think that one of the greatest things you can do every chance, whenever you have the opportunity, is doing something for someone that has no benefit to you whatsoever.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You're just doing it. Mm-hmm. Just doing it for no reason. Unlike me trying to get on Santa's nice list every year. doesn't work, by the way, everybody. It just doesn't.
Well, and the thing that I think gets lost is if everybody does this, if everybody looks at everybody else, then somebody's looking out for us. So we right. don't have to be scared that, well, if I don't look out for myself, nobody's going to look out for me. If everybody participates, everybody else is looking out for you, so you don't have to worry about it.
And it just contributes to the overall well-being of all of us.
Yeah. Rising tide raises all boats.
There you go.
National Apricot Day.
Ooh, yum.
That's a good one. National Word Nerd Day. Yes. Hey. Yes. Grammar geeks.
Perfect.
Language lovers.
It should have landed on a Wednesday, but that's all right.
Yeah, yes, it should have. Yes, it should have. Nice. It's a big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing. They'll join mm-hmm. us Wednesday with our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday.
Phil.
Hi, Phil.
So language lovers, word nerds, unite because it's time to celebrate National Word Nerd Day.
Yay.
Those who are always correcting someone's pronunciation or using big words that no one understands.
Mm-hmm.
Linguistic Society of Paris started in 1866.
Wow, that long ago.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, so what's everybody's favorite word?
Oh.
That you can say on the radio.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. For me, it's plethora. I love that word.
Plethora's a good plethora.
One. Yeah, that's a good word.
I like plethora. I've always loved the word lethologica. Lethologica. I learned it when I was a kid. I was like 9 or 10 years old, and I've never let it go. It means to when you can't, you got something on the tip of your tongue, but you can't think of it.
Okay.
There like you go. Oh, what was I? Oh, I was going to say something. What was I going to say? That's called lethologica.
There you go.
I can remember that, but half the things on my mind I can't remember.
Well, and plethora means to have an abundance of something.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a new word this last week when I was reading a book, and I thought it was such a cool word. It's Gallimaufry or Gallimaufry, which means a confused jumble or medley of things.
Very nice.
Spelled Gallimaufry.
Okay.
So I had to look it up because I was reading it in a book and it was used. I'm like, I don't know that word.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that word. That's a good one.
Gallimaufry.
Yeah.
I like the way you say it too. It's a good one. It is National Cassoulet Day.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm not sure what cassoulet is.
It looks like it's a type of casserole, but
yeah, but with salt
with meat sticks
with
on
meat
top.
Sticks meat on top. Sticks, yep.
Yes, meat sticks. I don't know what else to call those.
We might have to do a deep dive into this for Kitchen is Open.
We might.
Hot white beans baked with sausage and other meats. A cassoulet offers rich and warm comfort food on a cold winter's day. Those who are from France, who were raised in a French family, or perhaps who simply love French food, will especially love celebrating this National Cassoulet Day.
And it's named for the dish that the container that it's cooked in.
Originally a food that was made and eaten by peasants, the French cassoulet is named for the pot that. Thank you, Melissa. Yes. That's interesting. So many of our foods that stuck around, or food tendencies, or mm-hmm. trends, or styles, or anything like that, started with the poor.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, and with the naming, that's the controversy between hot dish and casserole, because mm-hmm. casserole is a type of dish that you cook in. So for it to be mm-hmm. a true casserole, you have to cook it in a casserole dish.
I didn't know that.
Huh. Or a cassoulet.
A cassoulet. I didn't know that, Beth. Huh, yeah. That's interesting. National Gluten-Free Day.
Ooh, yay. Oh.
All right.
It's a big one for a lot of people out there.
It is, and I'm glad that there's more... I would say knowledge about celiac disease and mm-hmm. eating gluten-free and the benefits and the, you know, not benefits of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I think a lot of people, it looked at it as mm-hmm. another fad diet. Like, oh, I could just eat gluten-free and I'll lose weight. Well, no, you won't.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. It is important to learn about I have a couple of friends. One of them, they knew somebody that was going on an all gluten diet and everything, and because they had to. Mm-hmm. And just trying some of their food, realized, hey, their food's sitting better with me, found out that they needed to also do it as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think that when we share this stuff, it goes a lot farther than we can realize sometimes.
Right. Well, and it's realizing it's an allergy, that people have an allergy to this, just like people would have an allergy to peanuts or tree nuts or things like that. And when we start to respect the allergy, it gives us a whole new perspective on being able to work around those kind of things.
We give ourselves a little more grace when that part comes in. Mm-hmm. When it's a choice, it's one thing. When somebody has no choice in the matter, whatever we're talking about, we tend to give a little more grace. Right. We're getting better about that, at least it seems. Mm-hmm. International Choreographers Day. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. this is kind of interesting. I don't know a whole lot of choreographers, but one of the most recent one I've really worked with was Amber Fate.
Oh.
And Amber's birthday was just the other day.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny that worked out. I love dance. I think dance is so much fun. It is so freeing. There are very few things in this world that feel as good as dancing.
Mm-hmm.
I have such a respect for people who not only can dance, but they can not only teach other people how to dance, but they can put up with dancers.
Well, this is part of my past life. I was in my college dance company, did some choreography there, and then I've worked with high school musicals in other communities where I've lived and choreographed some of the dance numbers for that. So it's a good day, and dance is just a wonderful expression. People think, well, I can't dance. Yeah, you can. You just need to move your body. You don't have to be good at it. It doesn't have to look beautiful. Just let yourself go.
I don't know if everybody can sing. I think that most people, if you gave them time, training, all this stuff, may be able to pull off a tune, you know, maybe not to get a record deal, but pull off a tune or whatever. I genuinely believe everybody can dance.
Yes,
I truly believe that. I think that everybody can. If you're thinking, I was born with 9 left feet, there's a dance for you. Try the Foxtrot. It's almost perfect for that.
Elaine from Seinfeld.
Yes, yes. Doesn't matter. If you are out there and you are having fun, that is all that matters.
Exactly.
You've never heard a band say, stop the music. You out there. What are you doing?
Right.
That's not dancing.
Right.
You stop it right now. Well, you are ruining music. You are hurting dancing.
We made it very easy in the 80s to dance when all you had to do was step, touch, or just kind of shift your shoulders back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And finally, it's Coming of Age Day. Coming of Age Day offers an excellent reason for young people to celebrate their entrance into adulthood, whether it takes place in Japan or anywhere around the world. Mm-hmm. Started in Japan as a holiday, but has really spread throughout the years and decades, really, to incorporate a ton of things. And this can range from the, I'm mispronouncing it now.
Quinceañera.
Quinceañera, thank you. For a 15-year-old girl becoming a woman in Latin American culture, to a Jewish tradition of celebrating the bar mitzvah when a child turns 13. Or in their early 20s sometimes. it's a good one. Anything to really highlight the changeover, I think. We get to a certain age in life, especially after 21, where, it doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. We just don't seem to care as much about ages and stuff. I think we hit on these whenever we can with young people.
Well, and it's a cultural thing. It's that cultural recognition of that rite of passage, that moving into a new stage of life. We do it in religious circles. We do it in all sorts of areas.
We will take a break right here. We'll get to Melissa's news. Come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here on WFHR. Serious comedy to start your day. Hope you're having a good one out there. We are going to get into some fun stuff right now. I'm going to try to move on. I hear that song, and I just want to go right down that rabbit hole right there.
Too late to say goodbye, so.
Nice. We are going to move into some fun stuff right here. This is an interesting story. Just a short one real quick, but I wanted to touch on this because what are the odds? Well, actually, not too bad. The city of Luck, Wisconsin is where we're going first, and it is living up to its namesake.
Yeah.
Yes.
Last Thursday, someone bought a $15.1 million Megabucks winning ticket at Wayne's Food Plus grocery store in the northwestern Wisconsin city.
Wow.
The winning numbers were 4, 6, 12, 17, 27, and 28. It is the largest Megabucks jackpot won since a $22.2 million jackpot in 2015. Wayne's Food Plus store manager Paul Wandra says the ticket buyer truly got lucky in luck.
Aw, that's awesome.
The Wisconsin-only game, of course, has drawings on Wednesdays and Saturdays. It's a cool story to hear. The odds of that happening there is what I want to know. I could not find any, because I did actually look this up. I did, well, what are the odds of winning the lottery in luck? You know, what are the... And could not find any actually legitimate like stats or anything like that. But I was very curious about it. It feels a little on the nose. Like nobody would believe you if you told you. I won the like, $2.22 million in Luck, Wisconsin.
Right.
Man, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. I don't know. That's a cool story. It was very cool to hear. I feel like nobody's going to believe you, though, until you actually like have the money.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of that, too, in this next one.
Okay.
If you guys, I got to go to court today and everything, and my lawyer, well, he's a robot.
What?
Like, what? You're not going to believe that. What are you talking about? Is it the Jetsons? What is this? What is... Add lawyer to the list of jobs being threatened by AI.
No.
Because a robot lawyer is set to argue its first court case next month.
Where?
The website DoNotPay.com has tools to help people fight parking tickets or get their bank to reverse things like overdue fees.
Okay.
Now they say they got an AI program that can listen in on court cases and come up with strategies in real time. Mm-hmm. They're using it to help someone fight a speeding ticket next month somewhere in the U.S., but they haven't revealed where because it's probably illegal.
Huh. Yeah.
Most courtroom... sorry, Melissa.
Yeah, no, keep going, James.
Okay. I'll just wrap up real quick. Most courtrooms don't allow electronic devices that can connect to the internet, so they picked one that allows for Apple AirPods to be used as hearing aids. The person fighting the ticket will have AirPods in while the robot lawyer listens in through the cell phone and tells them what to say. The CEO of Do Not Pay says the judge will definitely not know what's going on. They're also planning to use it in another speeding ticket case soon that's happening over Zoom.
Huh.
So my brothers and I got in a conversation about this through text over the weekend. Because one of the brothers sent a link to the article, I think a different one than you had, but and we talked about, like, is this a good thing or not? And I don't know, on one hand, maybe, especially for bringing costs down, because there's a lot of people that can't afford to go to court because they can't pay the lawyer fees. So, I mean, it's an interesting theory, and also the fact that, you know, an AI is going to have the ability to look at all of court cases that are similar to the one that they're dealing with, and... I don't know. It's an interesting theory.
Well, and I wonder if I would feel differently if it were something other than speeding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember my dad, when we were getting our driver's license, he looked at us and said, don't do the crime if you can't pay the fine. to take responsibility. You know, why are we trying to find loopholes to get out of taking accountability and saying, yep, you know what? I was going faster than the posted speed limit, and so now I have to pay the fine for breaking that law.
I wonder how far away we are between having a, we're being judged by a jury of robots, you know. But I think one of the first things I think of, and I come from an attorney family. I come from a family of a lot of lawyers on my mom's side, and then everything. One of the first things I think of is how bogged down the system is, and if this can speed things up at all, our judicial system, that's something to look into. And I don't like the idea of anybody having jobs taken from them, but I do like the idea of being smarter how we're using people in society.
Right.
If attorneys could be better suited to do this, this, and this, while this is happening, you know, the robots are taking care of this part or whatever. I don't see an issue necessarily. a big crux of this to me, though, a gigantic crux of this to me, is how much of the judicial system is based on the human factor.
Right.
A person, how many times have we seen stories or something like that where a person is either guilty or innocent, but the jury finds them this or that because of the human factor? Is that good? Mm-hmm. Is that bad? Is that actually a part of law? I don't know. That's a rhetorical question. That's on each of you to decide for yourselves. Mm-hmm. But I do think that these things are... This isn't going away. I can tell you that much. Like, the idea... They're going to be constantly trying things like this, find new ways to advance law.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have new laws all the time. We tinker with laws all the time. But the system itself hasn't really changed. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It works pretty darn good for the most part. There are, of course, plenty of examples of it not working. Mm-hmm. I understand that. You have a billion of anything. Some of it's going to work. Some of it isn't. But it is an interesting debate to have, I think, of like, you know, would you literally go to court and have a robot defend you? Like, if that was the case, if you could have an AI system defending you, would you choose that over a court? Or would you choose that over a public defender? Because oftentimes you are in a situation where your life is on the line and you're being defended by somebody who is literally just walked out of, you know, just walked into the courtroom out of a university. Mm-hmm. And everything they know about law is from a book. And that's a lot to put on anybody. Right. You have to learn that job in real time, I understand. I wonder how much better the system would be if there was actually, you know, that. The sides were even. If money wasn't so much a factor in defending your freedom. You know, so many of these things. I want to see robots involved in any of this before, you know, figuring out a speeding ticket.
Because that's a big part of it, is the cost involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Poor people can't afford a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing that comes to mind for me is bias. With AI, you take out the bias based on the way somebody looks or your cultural understanding of the other person. I think about all of the unjust cases that happened in the 40s and 50s for those that have darker skin.
Yeah.
Just because of the racism and bias that was going on in our country, and it still happens in our country. So taking out that bias factor could be a bonus, but, you know, I think there has to be a balance in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder, though, if it will actually, because when you look at, like, facial recognition software, and, you know, like, would it take out the bias? Or is the bias there because it was created by people who had a bias?
See. And that's the thing, because humans have to program the AI.
Yeah.
So was the programmer biased towards something or unbiased towards something?
Yeah. Will it be learned because of XYZ? There's a lot of questions there.
The computer is only as smart as the user.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are creating the AI, the AI can only do what we are capable of, essentially, in many ways.
I think the biggest bonus is that the storage space of the so-called brain is unlimited, more or less, as compared to a human brain. Like, the things that we can store in our brain are not as retrievable as an AI brain, so to speak. Because my brothers and I went down the rabbit hole of, okay, well, what about doctors? Mm-hmm. You know, for diagnostic purposes.
Right.
That would be, you know, you'd have like a house situation, but as an AI.
Yeah.
Well, I could see this being a tool that lawyers use to help them figure out strategies, but not necessarily in real time. To have that AirPod there for the AI to listen to what's going on in court, and then during a recess or, you know, as you're preparing for the next day, to be able to go back and say, okay, here's what I'm thinking. Let me see what the AI picked up in that as well.
I'd like to see them focus more on the AI being able to be, you know what, I want Perry Mason to defend me. and I could turn into Perry Mason or Jack McCoy or something like that. Maybe I'm still going to lose the case, but I got Jack McCoy defending me. So it feels cool.
When it becomes a holographic image, James.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, there you go.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, have some more fun here in the morning show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We sure appreciate the updates. Big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. We will kick off the 8 o'clock hour with them joining us. Looking forward to that. So after CBS News, they'll come in and join us on these airwaves, give us a live update of what the heck is Mother Nature doing now.
I can't see what Mother Nature is doing
Cannot
now, James.
Cannot see. Do you remember the last time that you dialed 411 or 0 to reach an operator or to get a directory assistance?
Oh, my goodness.
Ages ago.
Yeah.
Ages ago.
Decades.
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I just don't remember when. That's how long ago it was. If so, well, we're old. But outside of that, starting sometime later this month, AT&T customers with digital landlines will no longer be able to dial 411 or 0. That isn't really surprising. 2 years ago, AT&T ended operator services for cell phones. Verizon, T-Mobile, and other major carriers still offer it, but for a fee.
Wow.
Operator services like 401 have been around for over 100 years. So why are they ending now? An AT&T spokesperson said, nearly all of these customers have internet access to look up this information. In other words, you don't need an operator because you just have your search engines.
Except that there's a whole generation of people out there that only have flip phones and things like that. That can't get on the internet.
And there's also a whole lot of people in rural Wisconsin who don't have access to internet.
Right. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes. In 2021, there were fewer than 4,000 telephone operators, down from a peak of 420,000 in the 1970s. But there are still people who call the operator. In 2019, the FCC estimated that 71 million calls annually were placed to 411.
That says there's a need for 411.
Are we rushing this stuff?
Yeah.
It feels like, it feels like, oh, it's, we got so many people living in bubbles and so many people who are making decisions living in bubbles that we focus on people making really, really gigantic decisions that tend to be in a bubble. And like, well, I mean, for the love of God, right now, in the time that I've just said this sentence and stumbled over my words, Elon Musk has lost another $1 billion. Like, we've never, literally never seen anything like this. It just came out over the weekend. Elon Musk secured the record for the largest ever loss of personal fortune, according to Guinness World Records.
Wow.
It just...
Probably not a Guinness record he wanted.
No. Yeah.
But, I mean... We got these people that make these decisions to do this. I can run Twitter. I can run it better than these people can. I'm going to go in there and show them. Oh God, no, I can't. Oh no, I've lost everything. And now I went from a year ago looking like a genius and people talking about me being one of the great minds to now nobody believes I'm good at what I do. Like literally nobody thinks I'm intelligent anymore. This is what happens with these things. And you have a bunch of people at AT&T or wherever else living in a bubble. Of course, all of them have cell phones. Of course, all of them have a strong internet connection. So why would they worry about what anybody else is thinking?
And how old are they? You know, we've got generations now that don't know life before having the internet and cell phones. And so the assumption, because it's the only thing they've known, is that everybody has this without realizing that there are different generations that may not have moved forward with that technology yet.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to know what the... but the cost is to keep it up and running, because what's the harm if it's just a service that's there, you know, and it's not necessarily pulling from anything too much.
Well, and to charge for it, you know, you're, especially because the people that are going to use it are the ones that are on probably a limited or fixed income anyway.
Right, right. I don't see the harm in keeping these services around if they are not necessarily breaking the bank, you know? I don't know.
Well, and it's really easy to look at percentages. Okay, so 18% of residents in Wisconsin don't have access to internet. For a big corporation, 18%. Okay, that's not so much. Mm-hmm. Do you know how many people that is? Mm. Over a million.
Yeah.
That's over a million people in Wisconsin that don't have access to internet.
And the way that we feel different about hearing that number, 18% seems so small, but when you hear 1 million, it's like, oh, that's larger than I thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank goodness we still have 211 from our United Way of Southwood Abscottish. You can always call 211 if you need it. Keep that in mind. Everybody remember that. And do remember that the United Way is inviting you to attend their annual thank you and recognition celebration. It is going on Wednesday, the 11th, from 4:30 to 6:30, Bullseye Golf Club at 2800 Ridgewood Trail in Wisconsin Rapids. You know where Bullseye is. You don't need me to tell you that. You're going to have appetizers, a cash bar at 4:30. Program starts at 5. Be sure to show up, be there. It's a nice way for the United Way to show their appreciation to all of us. It's also a nice opportunity for us to show them how much we appreciate them. And, of course, you can call 211 and catch up with the gang there. They will answer any questions you need. If they don't have them, they'll help you hunt them down. And you can find out more by going to uwswac.org. Think Terry will be nicer to me now?
I think you got some points there, James.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Maybe for 5 minutes.
Take a break. Come back, and we will get into... We'll kick off the hour joined by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. They will have Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and plenty more fun coming up here on The Morning Show at WFHR.